good morning. It is a Friday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Chartok. Alan, facing an onslaught of state-level ballot restrictions and gridlock in Congress over voting rights legislation, the White House detailed a multi-million-dollar plan on Thursday to register voters and fight voter suppression. In a speech at Howard University, Vice President Kamala Harris said the Democratic National Committee would invest $25 million in voter outreach litigation. The White House has sought to show progress on the issue, even without legislation, after Republicans recently blocked the most ambitious voting rights bill to come before Congress in a generation. But the investment also underscores the dwindling chance, says the Washington Post, the Biden administration and its allies have to pass sweeping legal challenges expanding voting rights, and the tremendous challenge they face in battling a wave of state Republican voting laws.
David, this is an attempt by the Trump people and the people around him and the Republicans in this country to take away people's voting abilities, and they're not going to allow it. They are saying this is the only way we can hold on to power, and we're not going to let people vote. We're going to change the laws in the various states. We're going to make it so that there aren't places to vote, that you can't get it all done, that you can't register. And they're doing all of those things, and they're getting away with it. And by the way, I've been saying this, as you know, David, all along. Now, all of a sudden, the Democrats are waking up, their eyes are opening, and they're saying, hey, this is the end of democracy if we allow this to happen. And they are not going to allow it if they can do it. So you've got Biden and you've got Kamala Harris, and Kamala Harris better get busy, because if she's going to be the candidate the next time out or the time after that, she has to show that she can take these dragons on and do what she needs to do, and Biden has to do the same thing. Otherwise, frankly, all is lost.
Speaking of dragons, President Biden, speaking in blunt and defensive tones, says the New York Times yesterday, said the U.S. can no longer afford the human cost or strategic distraction of the Afghanistan conflict. Mr. Biden's remarks came as the Taliban surge across Afghanistan. Quote, how many thousands more American daughters and sons are you willing to risk, the president said.
This is an interesting one because, of course, as you know, Trump himself had those issues about being in Afghanistan. So along comes Biden and he says, we got to get out of there. And now the same people who are backing Trump are saying, we can't afford this. Or some of them are anyway. It's outrageous. And it is what we need to do. He's doing it. There will be lots of things he can do to keep the Afghani people going and safe. But, you know, it is now a time that the folks in Afghanistan have to stand up and say, I'm getting my gun and I'm not going to let these people deal with us the way that they did the last time, and our daughters, and taking away the right to educating women. So it's going to be up to the folks in Afghanistan, which it should have been all along, to protect their own rights and to fight like hell.
Two U.S. men, ex-Columbia soldiers, held in Haiti assassination. Alan, 17 suspects have been detained so far in the stunning assassination of Haiti's president, and Haitian authorities say two are believed to hold dual U.S.-Haitian citizenship, and Columbia says at least six are former soldiers. Haiti's police chief said eight more suspects were being sought, and three others had been killed by police. Quote, we are going to bring them to justice. After the brazen killing of President Jovenel Moise, of course, his wife severely injured. She was flown to Miami for treatment. So what do you think, Alan?
Well, we don't know, is the answer. Clearly, the United States is involved in this. Clearly, there were people who knew what was going on and who were involved in this. But we don't know which agencies of the United States government were taking which side. We just don't know. And this is a very dangerous situation because a president of a country got assassinated. We know that in the past, for example, when Aristide was elected, the United States didn't like it. And this is exactly the kind of thing that we are seeing now, but we don't know what was actually happening with our government, what they were doing. You know, JFK, when he was president of the United States, he sent messages to the anti-Castro faction that he would be there with planes and other things, and he never came, and he never did it. I'm not saying what he should have done. I don't think they should have been over there in the first place, to be honest with you. But these are the kinds of things that Americans don't get included on when decisions are being made. And when that happens, how can you have a democracy?
The example is not lost of what we saw just yesterday as torrential rains blew through New York City. There were people in waist-deep water in the subways. Of course, the remnants of Elsa. We have another wave of scorching heat entering the West. This climate crisis is showing itself every day now.
I think that's true. There will be the people who will reach back into the history books and say, well, we had bad weather on this day or that day. But the fact is, it's coming too often, and one and one makes two. And I do think, David, that you have a point, that with our consciousness about what climate change is all about, despite some foolish United States senators who deny it, and a president who was basically a climate denier, it is what it is. We know where we are. And when we behave like ostriches and put our heads in the sand and say, you know, this isn't really happening, it's really the end, because we are committing a kind of suicide on a sociological level.
How about we end with some good news today, Alan?
Please.
You and Joe and the whole Roundtable crew back at Tanglewood. My goodness, some normalcy returns to the airwaves today. Just a great day for Tanglewood, the radio station, and we'll also meet the new head of the BSO.
I love it. I really do. And the fact is that this is a tradition. For me, it's like going to summer camp. I love the building we're in, press porch, and we go and you smell the wood almost as if you were going to summer camp, and you feel really good, and you meet all the people who make that great, great institution go. It is so reaffirming. So you're right. This is good news, the fact that we're getting back to Tanglewood, and I am very, very happy to be doing this, and it's just a great relationship that the Boston Symphony and WAMC have. It's a wonderful thing.
Well, I'll be listening. Our political observer, Alan Charton. Thanks, Alan. Have a great weekend.
You too, David, and I hope that you make the most of it, because I know how hard you work during the week.
As do all my colleagues.